morning, I was crying out to the Lord and saying, you know, okay, Lord, what's up? I don't know what to do. Don't know what to give. Okay, so I thanked him for the new day, etc., etc. And I read the words that he gave me to read. But then, there was something that bounced into my heart that I heard yesterday. And I'm going to point blank ask you to close your eyes right now, just for a moment. Just close your eyes. Don't look around. Just close them and say, why am I here?
Why am I here?
Today.
Today.
I mean it, Lord. Why am I here today?
Why am I here today?
If I went around the room, I probably would get 15, 20 different responses, right or wrong.
Yeah.
But it's a good question, isn't it? Why did I come today? Why am I here today? And there's a gentleman in the scripture named Moses who probably was asking that same question 101 times during his lifetime. And he was a man chosen by God from the time that he was a little tiny baby. In fact, the scripture says he was only 3 months old when his mother knew that she had hidden him long enough that she needed to trust God with that baby. Jay and Allie, I have a question for you. When your little beautiful little girl would become 3 months old, which isn't that far away, would you have the courage to make a basket and cover it with pitch and then literally lay her in that little basket on a pillow with a little blanket and then put her into the Connecticut River?
Oh, geez. Boy, you gotta have a lot. You gotta really believe.
Ah.
And trust. Mm-hmm.
Would you have that kind of courage? I don't know if I would. How many can relate that you wouldn't, don't know how you would act or react? So God had to supernaturally enable his mother. Right? It had to be something that was done by God to give her the courage to put that baby in there and put that blanket on top of the basket and then give it a shove.
Oh, wow. I don't think I could.
I couldn't either.
How many could not? Thank you. You couldn't. You couldn't do that. Yet Miriam did. Miriam was the sister. And she said to, you know, to Mama, oh, what do you want me to do? Follow him from the bushes. Mm-hmm. Hidden in the bushes, she watched what was happening to the basket. Now, I'm saying all this because I know that some of you have wondered why you're here. And I'm telling you that your mom and dad pushed you out towards God somewhere along the way, because otherwise you wouldn't be here. It's the prayers of somebody that pushed you in that basket down the river of life to make you become who you are right now. Moses continues. He grows up in the best place in the whole country with all the privileges, plus all the witchcraft and every lust imaginable. And then all of a sudden, hell breaks loose. He realizes who he is. And he lived in that luxury for 30 years. But then he kills a man. And I'm trying to give you this synopsis because a lot of times we don't understand who and what we are and why we're here. Did God have a plan for Moses? Does God have a plan for you?
Yes.
Can you see Moses in those first 30 years thinking he's the prince of Egypt, going to rule the whole land. Absolutely. He believed it. How many have had a few curveballs in their life? How many had a few strikeouts? Too many to count? What happened to this man? God had his hand on him from the moment he was in his mother's womb, and God gave her the courage to set him on the river of life, and God had the same courage in your mother to set you into a place where she would cry out to the best of her ability, God, I don't know what you're doing with me. I don't know what you're doing with my child. But here he is. Here she is. And God doesn't say no to any father or mother that gives their child to the Most High God. Now, I said all this to take you to the next level. For the next 30 years, he goes and lives in a desert, finds a lady, has children, and continues to do his own thing. Then he goes 20 more years, and he turns 80, and he goes to a mountain, and he sees a bush that's on fire, and it's not consumed. Tell your neighbor, if you're not 80, you're not old enough yet.
You're not old enough yet.
Now, I am teasing you, but I'm trying to give you an awakening. Could Moses get a clue before he was 80 of who he was in God? Could he get a clue? Did he have a vision? How many believe he had a vision before? I believe he had a vision. He had a vision when he wanted to liberate all of the Israelites, and he killed a guy who was abusing them. The only thing is, he did it in his flesh. He didn't do it in the realm of the Spirit under the anointing of God. But I believe he knew he was a leader. And some of you already have a clue of who you are in Christ, but you're not sure how it's going to manifest. And neither am I. But I am saying to you, God has given you everything you need to make it for the journey. Now when he's 80, God gives him a promise. And what does he give him in his hand? A staff. A piece of wood. Doesn't mean much. Just something to help you along the way while you're walking. Then the Lord said, throw it down on the ground and it becomes a serpent. And out of that piece of wood, which he's probably walked around taking care of the sheep for 20 years or 30 years or 50 years. I don't know the number. It's not important where he picked up the piece of wood. But somewhere along the way he picked it up and he carried it with him. Could be used as a crutch. Could be used as a temporary pillow. Probably a little difficult. But God was saying, I've got with you what you need. You've got something in your hand. And that something in your hand will be more than enough for you all the rest of your journey. Now that's where we're going to pick him up. So I want you to go with me to the word of the Lord. Okay? Exodus. Chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Now, they're already out of Egypt. There's been many things that have gone along the way. They're already freed up. They've already had quite a few arguments with Moses. Moses and his brother have had a few arguments with each other. Is that normal family life?
Yes.
Thank you. Arrest my case. Exodus 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching against them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Why have you done, what have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. In fact, we enjoy our slavery so much, we'd like to continue it for the rest of eternity.'" Now that's Kim's version. "It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." I believe that many Christians right now are sitting in that very same place. "I'd rather die here than to continue to go forward. Because I'm so tired of the games and frustrations of life. I don't even like myself right now. I don't like what's inside of me. I don't like the war that's going on in my brain. I don't like the accusations. Now, if I'm hitting the target, would you please close your eyes right now and lift up one hand? If I'm hitting the target. Thank you. Why was the war so demanding against this man of God? There was a reason, wasn't it? Verse 13 says, "Moses answered the people, 'Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today.'" Peggy saw sunrise. Today's a new day. Are you ready for what he wants to reveal to you today? Out of your difficult space. Watch. "The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Verse 14. "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Close your eyes one more time. Say, "The Lord will fight for me.
I only need to be still."
Do you know that's the hardest job for a man or a woman to do? To shut everything down and just be quiet? The hardest thing that I've ever had to learn to do is shut my cotton picking brain down. Because my brain goes everywhere with thought patterns going, "Hey, yeah, 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 yeah," and "ay, yeah, 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 yeah." Do you relate?
Yes.
Do you understand where I'm coming from? What was the message to this man of God that had watched God, that had literally seen God, and God said, "Yes, I'm going to prove to you that I can take care of the Egyptians once and for all"? Who are the Egyptians in your life that are trying to overwhelm you and trying to destroy you? How many have got a few Egyptians? Thank you. Okay. Verse 15 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me?'" Why are you crying out to me? So who's crying out? Even the leader is crying out to God. He's frustrated. Things are not happening the way that maybe the promises were made. You told us we were going to be free, and now these cotton-picking Egyptians are on our tail. Haven't you got any plan, God? "Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." So he had the answer and he was holding on to it, but he didn't know how to use it until he got a word from God. Are you ready to lift your right hand one more time? Close your eyes one more time. Say, "Lord God, in my right hand is provision from your word to put the enemy to flight. Because you're going to go out and do the work that I could never do if I choose to place my trust in you. It's my choice. If I do it my way, the Egyptians stay on the job. If I do it your way and I'm still before you, what you have given me in my right hand is the authority God has given me over all the darkness that's trying to overwhelm me. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the heart of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Verse 19. Watch the answer. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of the Israelite army, withdrew and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left, etc., etc. But you need to see, Moses had to use what he had. How many of you have got a bunch of scriptures in your heart? Isn't it time you use them? Isn't it time that you declare those scriptures? You see, it's up to you. But in case you haven't got any in your arsenal, I'd like to give you a few. First Corinthians 1:27. God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Do you qualify? You may not realize how really weak we are, but we are, in our own eyes and sometimes even in God's eyes. But He chose you for His plan, not yours. Verse 28, He chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. And verse 29 says, so that no one may boast before Him. I want you to see in Psalm 65, verse 7, who stilled the roaring of the sea and the roaring of the waves and the turmoil of the nations? Matthew 8:26. He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. What did he have? He had the word in his mouth and he used it. Psalms 148:8. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, storm winds, that do his bidding. The weather, the weather patterns are changing over our land. God is using them for what? To wake you and me up. Mark 4:39. Jesus is in the boat. He got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Why? Why am I giving you? I'm trying to let you know that you know some of these things, but you don't use them. And if you don't use them and you blame God, What are you doing? You're failing because your lack of declaring the word and making it a reality in your life and giving God's angel a chance to serve you. Because his angels are ever listening to his word to perform it. His angels are standing still, waiting for your mouth to open up. Oh, but Kim, you know, I've been praying in my heart for weeks. Jesus did not get up in the boat and think about the wind calming down. I stress the word think. He didn't think about it. He spoke it. And it became a reality. He didn't say to Moses, well, why don't you make believe that you've got your hand up in the air and you're holding your staff over that sea. He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? Take your hand. Do something. Take the word that God has put in your heart about the circumstances that are troubling you. And start declaring it openly before heaven and hell. And you know what? Hell will back up. The angel will go from behind you to go before you. Amen. It's up to you. It's your mouth that's involved. I could take you to James chapter 3 and let you see that the words out of your mouth, instead of condemning yourself, you should start praising God for the way you are. Because if you praise him for the way you are, he's going to build you up. But if you keep condemning yourself, who is your worst enemy?
We are.
Yes!
I'm going to talk about the word rebuke. Yes. The word rebuke means to stop whatever circumstance is going on, to stop whatever it is right then and there, not to go any further. It cannot go any further. Once you, like, when you say that word rebuke, it means it cannot go any further. In Jesus' name. Yeah. I mean, that's a powerful, powerful word.
So what have you got in your arsenal? What kind of words are in your heart? What kind of words are coming out of your mouth? Oh, I'm useless. If you only knew how troubled I was last night. Yes.
Do all things in Christ will strengthen
me? Yes. Yes. But you have to declare it to yourself. You have to declare it. If you don't speak it and just think about it, nothing will take place. Close your eyes one more time. It seems that that's all I've been telling you all this service, right? Close your eyes one more time. Keep them closed. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I confess my disabilities as really a sin before you. Because you've given me tools, promises in your word, to solve the problem in my life. Whatever difficulties I'm facing, you have given me promises. And I can start declaring them. And the angel of the Father, who is working on my behalf, will finally have something to do. Can you relate? It's like the child sitting in school waiting for the teacher to say, come on, kids, let's do something. And until the teacher speaks, nothing gets done. They're waiting for the authority. You got a bunch of angels just sitting there. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14. Are not as angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the neighborhood? To your family, to your family members, to those that are hurting, to those that are having a hard time. Let those angels go to work today. They've been relaxing long enough. Amen. It's time for you and I to trust. Now put your Bibles down.
I sense a lot of activity walking back. I know you did a couple times, but I knew that was you. But there was a few,
yeah,
like at least three times.
Would you put your Bibles down, please? I want you to stand. Except for you two. Stay where you are. Don't want Mom and Dad to be disturbed. Stretch your arms to the Lord. Say, tonight, Lord.
Tonight, Lord.
Before I go to sleep.
Before I go to sleep.
Let my mouth declare your freedom.
With the promises you've given me.
About my tomorrows.
Especially those.
Areas in my life.
Where disappointment.
And betrayal.
And depression.
Has tried to conquer me.
They will not win.
I will speak the word.
And God's angels will go to work.
And they'll do a work.
So far beyond me.
That I will be able.
To say.
Without any hesitation.
God has a plan for my life.
He's activated angels on my behalf.
And miracles are happening.
In my family.
In my body.
In my neighborhood.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now look at your neighbor.
Say, are you in agreement?
You better be.
We're going to do wonders.
Because God's word
will not come back void.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give him a praise offering.
You have something to say.
6 years ago, God asked me to put my granddaughter in a car like Moses' mother did and send her up to Greenfield. And I did. And I believed that God is still in control. I forgave the aunt that brought this heaviness in my heart. Yesterday, I was told something that she has done recently. And I gave it back to God. So this sermon today was confirming what he taught me yesterday to let go and let God.
Yeah. And it's really not important to see her in Pharaoh's company.
No.
Is it?
No.
Because it is God's plan.
It is. And I know the lies that she's saying about me. So.
And it's okay.
It is, because God's in control, not me.
And yes. Not how many have been injured by bad reports?
Yeah.
Ah, so you can relate. Don't let it go into your heart. That's all I can tell you. Just do not let it go into your heart. Okay. Would you put your hands towards the gifts, please? Say, Lord Jesus, we're asking you what we're to give in order to obey you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Share some hugs with...